What is up, our friends from the internet? It is the Tech Yeah Games podcast. I am here with my, I always think of a word during the week I'm going to call you before co-host, and then I just don't remember it when we do the show. Leo's here with me, and we are ready to do some show. Leo, how's it going?
It's good, man. I'm happy to be here, as always. Looking forward to talking about some video games. What do you think about that idea?
I do love me some video games, man. So I am in like sin for talking about video games this week.
Did you ever play that game, that shitty first-person shooter from like the 90s called Sin?
I feel like I did.
Yeah, but probably. It seems like the kind of game you would play.
But I feel like I didn't. Like, I feel like I know what it is. I feel like it's something I would play, and I feel like it was terrible or something, and I just
bounced off
of it, like, immediately. Because I don't remember it at all.
Yeah,
it's one of those. But, Leo, I know you didn't get to play Sin, but what did you get to play this week?
I bet it's on Good Old Games for a dollar.
It's a 9 out of 10 on Steam, if we're going to be...
Is that true?
Yeah, that's true.
That's funny. That's probably 9 out of 10 from, like, my memory. I remember liking this. I can't imagine it's a 9 out of 10 by 2021 standards. But
how much does this cost? $10?
I bet it's definitely one of those games that goes on sale for a dollar every couple months.
Yeah, we'll see. If I can find a creative way to get my hands on Sin, maybe I'll play it before next week's show so we can, get to the bottom of this.
I did play some other stuff, though. I actually played quite a few games this week. I've been really into games lately, like more so than usual.
Games are dope.
Yeah, I've been like thinking about them a lot. Like when I wake up in the morning, I'm like, ooh, what should I play today? It's been fun. So the game I played the most is actually Neverwinter Nights, which is sort of weird.
Right? That is weird.
I was playing Baldur's Gate last time, and I did like it. It's cool. It's just pretty inaccessible and pretty clunky. And that has some charm to it, but it's just difficult, really. It's a different version of D&D and a much older version, so that's a pretty steep learning curve. And also, it's an old game, you know? It's an old RPG.
Yeah.
They do not make those easy. A lot of UI stuff is just a lot better now than we take for granted. But this is came out several years after, and it's fully 3D, but it's like early 3D, which I actually realized recently. I really love that... that really awkward 3D stage, you know? Yeah. I just find it very charming. And like kind of the uglier the better for some reason. My brain just really enjoys it. And I think it's very fun looking. And it was just cool to see how creative they were back when they, you know, had pretty limited tool sets. But it's great, man. It's pretty straightforward D&D, right? Like this is third edition in Neverwinter Nights. But it's very, you know, traditional high fantasy. And it's very like comforting, for lack of a better word, you know? Like it doesn't really make you think much. But it's, you know, it's cool. I'm just having a blast of playing an archer, ranger. And yeah, I'm just having a really fun time just exploring and looting. And it's pretty traditional, but it's very enjoyable. By most accounts, the main campaign is the weakest point of the game. And I'm still enjoying that. Where it really shines is in the expansions. And then, of course, all the user-created content is really what that game's all about, you know?
Yeah.
It was one of those games that was designed basically to be a toolkit for modders. So,
yeah, I remember not loving the Neverwinter Nights campaign. I feel like I fell off of it, so that makes sense.
Yeah, I think you have to be kind of in the right mindset, which I, for whatever reason, am. And I've been playing on my phone, which has been interesting. I think it actually works really well as a phone game because it was so the way you moved was with the mouse, so touching actually works really well as locomotion. It's still super awkward. The game is just like has a shitty camera. This is the enhanced version, but even so. But I think it actually works much better than Baldur's Gate as a phone game. I spent a bunch of time trying to get my save to work on my computer. I spent like hours trying to, it's a long, boring story, but I spent a lot of time only to realize that they're like different versions. So the saves are incompatible because they have like different toolkit. So that was kind of frustrating, but even so, I've been having a blast just playing it, you know, before bed, first thing in the morning, just doing some old school dungeon crawling, you know?
Get up early, grind out the dungeons, bro. I hear you. That's the life.
That's how we do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's fun. I'm definitely going to keep playing. I don't know if I'll, you know, get through the 60-hour campaign or whatever. We'll see. But I'm definitely... It's much more accessible to me than Baldur's Gate. I don't think it's better. In fact, it's pretty clearly not better. But for whatever reason, it's just more in line with what I'm looking for right now, you know? The other game I played was Outriders, which I'm very curious if you played...
No, I did not jump into it. I'll be honest, it didn't look like something I would be that into visually, just from like seeing other people play it, but
totally.
I did see it pop up.
I think that's totally fair. That was the one where you recall when we were watching, I think it was the Gaming Awards, and we're like, what the hell is that? Like, it is such a, it's so generic looking as far as tone and as far as like the art. It very much looks like Destiny, to the point where it's really kind of cringy. Like, Jesus Christ, you guys, come on. That said, I heard some positive buzz on it, and there's a demo out, so I figured what the hell, why not? You know, it's always fun to try a new AAA title. It's from Square Enix. And it's fine. Like, it's pretty much what you'd expect. It's sort of, the way I would describe it is, it's essentially, you know those parts in Destiny 2 where you go into, like, third person and use powers?
Yeah.
It's basically just that the whole time, more or less, which is fun. And then it's a shooter, so it's kind of, I don't like that phrase, but it's like, it's really just a cross between The Division and Destiny, basically. There's a few things I do like about it. I think the tone of it is annoying, but it's not as annoying as, like, Borderlands. I think it's better than Borderlands, but it still just has that, like, where it's just trying to be cool, you know?
And so what is, like,
so not.
What is the conceit of the world? Like, what time period are you in?
Okay, so that's the part that's actually kind of interesting. It's basically the Earth was destroyed for whatever reason, and it's in the future, and this ship lands on this planet that they're trying to colonize, and this crazy storm happens, and your character, you know, gets powers. But your character is sort of killed and then comes back to life, like, I think 40 years later.
Does so a floating mean? Box resurrect him?
Yeah, basically, with Peter Dinklage's voice.
Yeah.
Essentially, I mean, it really is kind of like that. I think it's the lore is better than Destiny, but that is a very low bar, as we've discussed in the past.
Yeah,
It does do some cool stuff where, like, you talk to everyone and everyone's nice and fun, and then when you wake up many years later and everything's all gone to shit and everyone's at war, you know, everyone you knew is old now, which is actually kind of neat. They do some kind of cool stuff with that story-wise, where you're like, whoa, everyone's all old and battle-hardened, and these are all the people you knew before, right? So there's some cool stuff in there, but overall, as far as an actual game, it's really about as generic as you can possibly get. That said, it's still fun, you know? Like, it's like The Division. It's fun. It's not pushing any boundaries, but it is it's an enjoyable experience. I think it feels pretty good to play. I think you should give it a shot, just because I'd be curious to your thoughts. I think you are probably more articulate on that style of game than I am, so I'd be very interested to hear what you think of it. The demo, you know, doesn't take long to download. And then I guess whatever progress you make of the demo does carry over to the game if you do choose to buy it, which I don't think I will. I'm not going to spend $60 on it.
So now I got homework, huh? Outriders.
Well, yeah, give it a shot. I'd be curious to see what you think. It's one of those games where, right, like, now. Yeah, well, maybe not right now.
Right, then it's gonna as we speak, I am downloading it.
If you start sounding all robotic. One thing that's funny is, like, for every cool thing the story does, and it's never that cool, but, like, I'll be like, oh, that's kind of interesting, and then immediately there'll be, like, some dumbass one-liner, and I'm just like, oh, God, guys, come on. Like, it's just trying so hard to be cool, and there's nothing less cool than trying to be cool, you know?
I feel like that genre just can't escape its stupidity, you know
what
I mean?
Yeah, it's like, it just wants to be badass so much.
I mean, I think that's the problem with, like, power fantasies in general. You know, I was actually thinking about this, like, because I was actually thinking about anime. We're gonna be honest with you, but yesterday I was driving in my car.
Always thinking about anime.
Well, because my girlfriend, like, she doesn't like power fantasy stuff, right? Like, she always wants, like, slice of life stuff, you know?
Sure.
And so I was just kind of exploring in my head, like, kind of like what it is about these power fantasies and how we like to experience them and how, like, it really, you know, gaming is all about that, and that really kind of crosses over. Yeah. I think that's why you see so much similarities and fandoms between people that like anime and play video games, because, you know, there's that similar escapist kind of power fantasy in both of them, right?
Where, yeah, oh, for sure, and it's definitely something I'm drawn to. Like, that's absolutely one of my favorite things about gaming, is feeling very powerful.
Me too, and just doing things you couldn't otherwise achieve. Flying an airplane, flying a jet fighter, you know, being the strongest, using crazy weapons, whatever it is, right?
Shooting civilians, yeah.
Having magical powers, you know? Yeah. Any of that. you know, and I think that, you know, as that becomes, like, as fun as that is, I think the other side of that coin is that it's kind of a cringy ideal. You know what I mean? Like yeah. And so, of course, the people that write these like power fantasy games are going to be super cringy, you know, like they just can't yeah. help themselves from like displaying their, you know, the kind of like dissonance in what's happening and their own personalities, you know, yeah. like, cause they're not cool, right? They're not yeah. powerful. They're not
yeah.
Any of these things, and they don't know how to be. You know,
yeah.
So when they get that experience to be that person, to be that badass, you know, it's like you get that kind of comic book version of like what a cool guy is, and it's gross. Like it's so
yeah, it is. It's very stupid. It just feels profoundly dumb.
It's so dumb, right?
And it just like misses. It's definitely all the time. Like yeah, totally. And it's stuff like if someone was walking past, I'd be so embarrassed if they saw that like. Scene they just
yeah
what are you playing? I'd be like, I know, god damn it. Like there's a lot of different ways video games can be embarrassing, but that's the one that this one definitely leans into. It's like, you know, just cool one-liners, and like it's like trying to be funny but it's not at all. And you know, it's not like Borderlands yeah. where it's really trying to be a comedy game, but even so it's like it just has some weird tone issues.
And I think the problem too is the other side of that coin is like people that do actually like have this kind of like physical prowess or whatever, right? Are like generally that manifests in them being kind of assholes, you know? And I don't mean that to like dissuade like the people or whatever, but you know, I think the real version of that, the real version of someone that is stronger than their peers or is
yeah.
Just performs better than their peers is like they're not the most likable people either, right? And I think in a lot of ways, people that are drawn to power fantasies shun that type of engagement, yeah. right? Like that is like poison to them, you know?
Yeah.
So and I think that's why a lot of people hate on Call of Duty while still playing it, right? Because I think that is kind of the more, I don't want to say realistic version, but I think it's almost more in line with how an operator would act is to be this kind of dumb jackass, you know?
Yeah.
And we all hate it, you know, like no one likes that. But I think the other side, the kind of nerd experience of Power Fantasy is also real cringy. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't think it has to be that way. Like, I think you're right that it often is, but like nothing's super springing to mind right now. But there's no question that you can have power fantasies and still have interesting characters, or at least just not be annoying at the very
somber,
least. Like, it doesn't even have to be good. It just needs to not
heroes,
be bad.
Somber heroes are the best heroes. Okay. Or at least yeah. like straight shooters, right? Like I think that's why Aloy's so great is because yeah. she doesn't fucking crack yeah,
she's,
wise.
She's not just cringy like, at all.
No. And she doesn't crack wise. Like she's not like yeah. trying to you know, she doesn't yeah. kill a Monstersaurus and she's like, fucking got him. You know what I mean? Or like, they're like,
I would love that if she yeah. said that.
They're like, now
fucking
I got,
got him.
Now I got your pew pew laser fucking stupid Saurus. You know, like.
See, maybe you should be writing these games.
That sounds like a great game. I'll be honest. But yeah, you
yeah,
know, characters
she
like
is
that,
a good example.
The
yeah.
solid snakes of the world, the. You know, the ghosts yeah. of Tsushima of the world, you know, like.
Yeah, I think he's maybe a little too serious, but. And then there's the other side of that, which is like Kratos, which, or like in the New God War, where it really leans into like exploring that. And not every game needs to be that. I'm not saying.
Yeah.
A game has to have emotional depth to be engaging. It just needs to not be eye rollingly annoying. Like, I don't yeah. care if it's generic, it just cannot be both generic and cringy.
Yeah, I think God of War's beauty is being a character study of that, right?
Yeah, like, yeah
and I think that's
yeah.
what's so incredible. The game,
and that's a very different standard, I think.
Yeah, the gameplay itself of God of War is not that great, to be
it's,
fair.
It's pretty it's good, but it's definitely it's, not. It's not as good as you know. That's not what the game is about.
No,
like it's like The Last of Us, right?
Yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah, it's a character study, and it's an amazing one, right? Like it's so good.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah.
I want to play more God of War right now.
I know. I've been thinking about it a lot. I'm going to wait till I get a PS5, which there's a couple other things I want to talk about, but I do want to talk about that here pretty soon. The other thing I did want to mention, though, is I finally did 100% Mario, and it ended up being a lot of work, like quite a grind there at the end, but I did it. Those last two levels in, like, the King, like, they're, like, the mega hard levels, you know? They're fucking hard.
And this is Mario 3D World Bowser's plus Bowser's Fury.
I haven't even really touched Bowser's Fury. I'm kind of burnt out now. But I did finally 100% Mario, which was not easy. And I kind of did it in cheap ways. Like, I never cheated, but I definitely, like, you know, used the Tanuki suit and got infinite lives. And, you know, I gamed the system a little bit just to make it easier. But I did still do it, and it was really hard. Those last two levels are quite challenging.
Yeah, 100%ing is all about gaming the system, right? Like, I don't think there's a, you know, an unfair way to do that, unless you're, like, cheat, like, hacking or something, right?
Like, yeah, I think, like, the infinite life thing is a great example of, like, you know, it's either that or I just get game over enough to start over, but it's really just a time issue, right, at that point. Like, yeah. I'm just saving myself time, which does not feel like cheating. Feels like I'm respecting my time. But yeah, it was interesting. It definitely played a lot of Mario, and I got really good at that game, and I really like it, but definitely was happy when I was done. It definitely sort of started to feel like a chore by the end, and I'm not really sure why I did it, but, you know, I did. It's another thing I can cross off my list. And then the other thing I did want to talk about briefly was I spent a lot of time trying to get a PS5. I kind of got sucked into this Discord where it's all about trying to get GPUs and PS5s.
That's what's up.
And it ended up being a pretty negative experience overall. Like, I didn't get one, and I spent a lot of time trying to get one, and I felt really stupid and, like, bad, and it was, like, pretty negative overall.
Yeah, that's the joy, man. That's the downs. You're on the in the slump of the coaster, man. You gotta get low before you can get high, bro. You gotta get low.
Yeah. It was pretty rough. Like, the main thing, I really would prefer a GPU, I realized. And then I can wait to get a PS5 when they get, like, you know, smaller and there's more games out. But at this point, it's sort of whichever one I can get first, and it's even harder to get a GPU than a PS5, sadly.
Yeah, GPUs but it's are just insane, like, right now.
Yeah, it sucks. But it's just gross. Like, the whole thing feels weird, like, refreshing, and then you're, like, fighting against bots, and the other people are, like, getting them, and everyone's being kind of an asshole, and there's all the scalpers. Like, I don't know. It's just a really negative space, and it kind of sucks, because I'm just like, dude, I just want to play some games, man. Yeah. You know? Like, that's all I want. And other people are like, gotta fucking mine some more Ethereum, and gotta sell my nephew's PS. Like, they're all, like, come up with these fucking schemes and trying to make money off it. And I'm like, dude, I just want a GPU so I can play a video game. That's it.
Yeah, and I do feel like we've hit this, like, crazy weirdness in the world right now where we are willing to speculate on any potential investment, right? Like, it doesn't matter if it's GPUs, PS5s, what is it now, these NTRs that people are talking about? I'm thinking about buying some NTRs because I'm just like, people buy fucking everything now. Like, I don't know why, but Pokemon cards, like, whatever you can get your hands on, right? Like, people will speculate and, like, overinvest in it. Fucking Bitcoin's going crazy, Ethereum's going crazy, Dogecoin's going crazy. Yeah. Like, it's just a real mad dash to have everything right now, and it is strange, to say the
least. It's strange, and I don't like it. Like, I mean, it's cool people are making money, and I'm not, like, mad about that, but it feels weird wading into that market. Like, it's so divorced from reality, and it has that same vibe of what we talk about sometimes, where it's like, hey, the internet's not real, guys. Like, fucking relax. That's kind of how all this feels. It's like, I understand it's money, and I understand money's important, and it's good, and all that, but it all of it does feel very like, you guys, shut the fuck up. Like, it's not real. None of this is real, man. Like, relax. I don't know. It all just has this real air of negativity. It's not like everyone's happy about it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, no, I feel like the people who are making all the money aren't happy. It's weird. It's like, it just all feels negative. And this is kind of an offshoot of that. And I really am just like, yo, I really just want a GPU so I can play Control. That's it. I don't want to fucking talk to anyone about Ethereum mining. I don't want to, like, have to jump through hoops. I just want to, like, play a video game. And it's sort of sad that that's just almost like no one even talks about that side of it anymore.
Yeah, like, that's so unimportant, you know?
Yeah, people are like, what are you, a fucking baby? I'm like, no, dude, I just want to play some art. Like, that's all I care about right now.
Well, you know, and I think we're creating this really weird space, too. Like, I mean, you know, and I've said before that I sold some GPUs on here, right? Yeah, I'm one of the bad guys as far as, you know, making money selling these things. Mm. And even the people I sold it to, it was all kids, right? And it's the only people I can imagine that are really willing to, like, participate at this level, like, in the scalper market for these things, right? Like, you know, we're both adults. I don't know if you guys out here don't know this, but me and Leo are
adults. You wouldn't know by listening to our show, but we are.
But, you know, yeah, sure, I'll try and get one for, you know, MSRP, but, like, never once has it crossed my mind to pay, you know, $1,400 for a 3080. You know what I mean? Yeah, like, that's not even...
more than that now.
Yeah, it was more than that now. But that's not even a...
yeah, same.
I would never even sort of entertain that idea. Like, maybe a little bit extra to cover, like, tax or whatever. But not like these insane prices they're asking. And you know, the people that are buying them are, like, just these very young, like, entitled people. Like, I don't know any people our age or of a reasonable age that are buying these things to, like... play games or like, you know, like, or spending their own money on them or whatever. Right. It just, it makes me wonder about young people, to be honest with you, because when I was a teenager, and this is like some back in my day shit, but
yeah, it is. It's funny.
I never could have imagined anyone's parents like buying them, not only like a very expensive tech product, but like paying, you know, double or like 150% of the price for that tech product because it's sold out, right?
And from not a scalper on the internet, like some random ass, like, yeah, it's so weird.
I mean, it was so funny. I would meet these kids and their moms would come to the meetup, right? And she'd be like, well, what is this? And I'm like, video card. And I'd be like, is it worth this much? And I'd be like, no, right? And they'd be like, do you ever?
Definitely not.
They'd be like, do you have a receipt? And I'm like, nope, you know? And they're just like, and I'm like, you could open the box if you give me the money first, you know, I'm not trying to make this deal easy on you. I am not encouraging you to buy this thing. You know what I mean? Like, if your kid wants to walk away with this, then whatever. But, ultimately,
it's kind of on you, parent.
It's on you guys. If you guys want this thing I have, otherwise I'm not really that interested in, you know, entertaining your concerns here. And they would just buy it, you know, and you're just like...
yeah, and then what? Like, go home and play fucking Roblox? And that's not like a joke against kids. It's more just like a, why?
Like, and has this always happened? Like, because I don't feel like anyone... I don't feel like anyone... this happened when I was in high school, right? Like, I don't feel like even my richest friends, like... maybe because they weren't nerds back then. Like, maybe it was a BMW instead of a video card, right?
Or a bike or whatever. Or music equipment.
Something.
Guitar or whatever.
But even then, it was just never in such demand that it was that expensive. Like, the only kid I knew with an expensive thing was my friend that played cello, and he had, like, a fucking, you know, $4,000, like, old, like, you know, cellos can be hundreds of years old when you buy them, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, he had one that was, like, super expensive, but, you know, like, yeah, I just don't remember this kind of happening, and it's like, what is this generation that there's enough people playing this game to just, like... I assumed PS4s would come down only because there's actually kind of a lot of them out there, you know? And it's like, how do they keep getting away with charging so much when there's actually a lot of product? You know, like, how is demand so high? But these fucking kids will pay anything. It's crazy.
Yeah, or their parents will, right?
Or their parents will, yeah.
Or who just have no sense of how much stuff is supposed to cost. Like, either they're very wealthy, so they just don't care, or they just don't know, right? Yeah, like, this is a computer part. I guess $2,000 makes sense. It's like, nah, dude, just it doesn't. But okay.
And I feel like they're just not so wealthy. Like, the people I met weren't rich. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't like they pulled up in Land Rovers, and you know, like, it was just like moms. You know, like, just like, man, this is fucked up, right? This is fucked up. This feels so fucked up, right?
That's exactly right. Like, it really, just the whole thing, it all feels really bad. And it's not even like a moral issue, like. You know, that part of it, I'm not that concerned about. It just feels gross, like, all of it. And even engaging with it in a very, like, pretty lighthearted way, but I'm like, dude, honestly, I just want a PS5 and I want to get out, because this whole thing is, like, stressing me out and grossing me out, and, like, the whole thing is just very negative. And it's kind of sad that, like, the way I want to play this game and do this hobby that I love so much and brings me so much joy, I have to kind of, like, engage with these, like, shady people. It's like, again, it's not that they're shady people. It's just like the whole thing has this air of grossness to it.
The situation's super shady. I hate it selling video cards.
I bet. I mean, it's not. Yeah, totally. And that's what I mean. Like, it's not even. Again, it's not that some people are evil or whatever. That's an interesting conversation to have, but it's not about that. It's more just like you said, and I'm sure you felt the same way. It's like, ew, the whole thing's just gross.
And things like, you know, once things take on this like fervor and this value, like. People are weird, you know, like weird things happen around those things, right? Like, I don't care if it's PS5s because they're out of stock or fucking water because there's no water, like whatever becomes scarce and valuable, like people just get weird about, you know, And so, you know, that's what I don't like. It's just the vibe of, you know, like the person buying the card for me would be kind of scared. I would be kind of like, no one was comfortable going into these deals.
It's not fun for anyone.
No, no one's happy about what's happening. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Except maybe NVIDIA and AMD. They're probably chilling.
Yeah, they're doing okay. But I don't even know how we got on this tangent. But
no, it's
I'm glad I got my PS5 early. That's what I'll say.
For sure. I'm glad for you, and I am gonna still try and get one. Although I do have to tell you real quick, and then I want to hear a little bit about what you got up to this week. Is I did buy an Xbox Series S, gross. but this is what I'm talking about though. I was trying to get a PS5 and all the shit, and then I saw I could get an Xbox, and I just did it. And I was like, afterwards, I was like, why did I do that? And I might actually cancel it because they're not gonna ship it for like 3 more weeks. But I don't know, but I might not, because it's like, it'd be nice to have something. And the thing is kind of cool, like it's very small, and I was looking, I was like, dude, an Xbox One, which I never really wanted, still costs the same as this, which is very strange. Like crazy. the whole pricing structure is totally fucked. And I was doing a little bit of research about like how powerful it is compared to the Xbox One X, and how it, you know, it has fewer teraflops or whatever. The GPU is not as powerful, but it's a way better architecture, so you know, it is better. I guess the reason I bought it and the reason I'm trying to like justify it in my head is because I'm like, damn, I just want something, man. And that sounds so pathetic, but it's like, I can't get a GPU, I can't get a PlayStation. This is all I could get. And it's pretty lame, I will say.
Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't have bought one, but we're very different that way. But I do think the S is a cool toy. You know what I mean? I was looking at like those MIDI consoles that came out. Like, I would like to have one like sitting on my desk to like boot like random games in and play maybe that I didn't have on PC, or you know what I mean, or whatever. Like, I think it's fun. I mean, there's no. What's the worst that could happen? You play it for a while, then sell it for an extra $100. Like, you know, it's not like there's a lot of downside to owning it.
Yeah, that's the other part of it. Is like, if I do want to resell it, I think I can do that with very little loss or possibly even profit, or I'll just cancel it. I haven't quite decided yet, but it was more just like it was not a fun purchase. I wasn't like, oh cool, I'm so excited about this. It was more like, I don't know why I did this, but I did it, because the whole thing is like getting to me in a weird way and it's very unpleasant. But anyway, enough focus on the negative. Overall, it was a fun week. I played a lot of good games. I'd love to hear about what you played this week though.
That should be the tagline for the Xbox Series S. Enough focus on the negative, Xbox Series S.
It should be Xbox Series S. You can maybe get one of these.
Yeah, that should be it. Like, I'm not happy about it. That should be the Xbox Series S. I'm not happy.
It's just a sad face. It's like, better than nothing, I guess. Xbox Series S, better than nothing, I guess.
So I went back to a lot of games this week. One I've been playing semi-consistently, so I guess I shouldn't say go back, but I played a lot of Ghost of Tsushima this week.
Nice.
Like, all day yesterday, I basically played it.
That's cool.
And, you know, the reality is I didn't finish the main campaign yet. I was, like, really close to the end of Act 2, and was mostly just farting around doing Mongol bases and stuff, because there's just so much.
Like, yeah, those are so fun, man.
Yeah, it's a really easy game to just, like...
It is.
...spend dozens of hours just, like, roaming around and doing the stories and
especially once you start like really getting strong, like it does a great job of like, in the beginning Mongol bases are so scary, and by the end you literally just walk up screaming everyone and just cut everyone down without getting hit once, and it's really fun. Anyway,
what's best is once you unlock ghost mode, because it's like all right, none of y'all can touch me, and in a minute here I'm gonna have y'all just running in fear, you know. Like it's nuts. It's such a good game, man. Like, more and more, like, I hear this discourse around that game, and, like, people just love it. Like, on Reddit, people are just like, fucking best game. And then I hear people, like, reviewers being like, oh, it was okay, and, you know, kind of missed. And the more I just play it, I'm just like, God, this game is fucking great, man. Like, it is so good. Like, people are very dismissive that it's somehow like, oh, it's just kind of the culmination of a lot of, like, open world games. And... I just think it's great. I love the story, man. Like, you know, a lot of it is kind of rote and, you know, does kind of go where you expect it to go, but I don't really see that as an issue, you know?
Yeah, I don't either. I mean, I think we said a lot of this, or I did when I was first playing it too, is like, this idea of like, hey, here's a thing you've seen before, but it's done extremely well. Like, that's a bad thing. Mm-hmm. And, like, no one was saying this shit about Spider-Man. Like, Spider-Man was cool and all, but it was so derivative, and it was so... It felt even almost more so, like, oh, you know, here's an open-world game if ever there was one. And it was great. But it is weird how the discourse around that was so positive. Yeah. And the discourse around this was like, yeah, it's good, it's very competent, but, you know, we've seen it before. It's like, well... Same with Spider-Man, and both were great.
Spider-Man is just a Batman game. Like,
yeah, exactly. It's literally it's a very good open world superhero game, but there was nothing new in it, and loved it.
Including me. Love Miles Morales. Yeah, don't no shade, right?
Yeah, I love those games. Like, doing something really, really well it's weird. Like, yeah, being creative is great, and doing both really would be ideal. But doing something that's been done before really, really, really well is fucking awesome, and that game's a great example of that.
That last run in Act 2 is fucking incredible, right? Like, when you go to whatever the village where the traitor people are, and you gotta turn them to your side, right? And so they're all, you know, and so you go, you save their archers, and then you just, like, the Mongols come in, and you just gotta, like, fight them all, you know? Like, it's fucking amazing, because you're just fighting, like, nonstop forever. And then at the very end, when you raid that Mongol base, and it's just, like... Just madness. It's just fucking madness. You're just like, so many people on screen. Who's the good guy? Who's the bad guy? I'm just slashing and swinging arrows.
Yeah, I'm fucking murdering everyone. My sword's on fire.
My sword's on fire. It's black and white. I don't know what's going on. Everyone's afraid. I'm afraid. It's amazing.
It handles chaos really well. Like, you never feel out of control, even when it looks like it is. It's really cool.
And the Yuna and Jin relationship is fucking amazing.
I agree.
Those two together just interacting, like, I just cannot get enough of it. I love it so much. Like, I wish they had, like, a buddy cop movie or something I could watch, because I just love them. And when, you know, spoiler alert, all right, close your ears, everybody. But when her brother dies, and it's like, it sucks, right? Because you know, like... You know you let him down, but you know you let her down. You know, like you're like, fuck, man. Like,
yeah, that was a great scene where you're like, fucking absolutely cuts his head off, and you're like tied up there, and
because you know what's gonna happen, man.
Yeah,
you get
caught. And you're so helpless for the first time.
You get caught, and you know he's gonna come do something stupid, and he does. And then they give him the sword, and you know he's gonna do something stupid, and he does. And you're just like, fuck, man. Like,
it's very inevitable.
Why didn't I see this all happening when I? Before, like, why wasn't I careful? And then it does, and you know, like fuck, man, I let her down. And when she comes into town and is like, what happened? And you're just like, fuck. And she's like, yeah, that's just the kind of guy he was, you know. And you're just like, fuck, man, like, you know, I can't of course you get it, you know, like, of course she understands that, like, you didn't intend for this, and that like, you know, like you aren't happy about this. This is not what you wanted to happen.
Yeah, I like that too. How she wasn't like, I can't believe, like, blaming him, like, or punching him or something. She's like,
right?
Yeah, she's like, this fucking sucks, but, you know, whatever. What are you gonna do, basically? And it's like, yeah, that sounds about right. What would you do? Like,
I just think, like, the game, no reason to go home now. Let's just fight. You know, like,
totally. And I do think there's some surprises in there. Like, I think their relationship is very good from start to finish. I also think the older woman who, you know, she was, like, the leader of a village and her whole family was killed. I don't know how much of that you've done, but there's some really weird and interesting stuff in that story that I was totally surprised by, and really kind of, the game starts off very straightforward, and I think it still is in a lot of ways. Like, it's never super experimental, but there's definitely some surprises in there, and I think their relationship was one of those. So even the people were saying it's pretty... by the books, that's true, but even so, there's still some cool stuff in there, definitely. They explore some interesting ground, emotionally.
Yeah, and I think people, for some reason, or at least in the way the discourse comes across, like, I feel like a lot of people don't think that, like the way, like the main guy, like, throws you in jail and is going to turn you over to the Shogun or whatever. Like, somehow that wouldn't happen, or, like, they wouldn't admonish you for being a fucking savage. But, like, you know, it just seemed realistic. It didn't seem like it was, like, too much or, like, out of character, or, you know, oh, I can't believe you double-crossed you. I don't know. It makes sense. You know what I mean? Like, that point where you're poisoning everybody is fucked up.
Yeah. You know? I love that. I love that whole sequence where you, like, jump out and you're like... Ah, and you're like, when he cuts off the dude's head, and your uncle's like, dude, you need to fucking chill. And he's like, why? I'm getting the job. He's like, dude, for real though, you need to fucking chill. It's very good. I agree.
Yeah, you're so far gone and you revel in it. I think that's awesome. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I think that's great. But no one's going to accept it. Like, Yuna accepted it because she's gone too. You know, like the your crew has also fucking lost it. You know, like they've all, it's almost like Grand Theft Auto, right? Like,
yeah.
The people in your gang have lost their shit and they're also nuts, you know? And so, though everyone else is going to view you as like spiritual monsters, like they view Jin,
yep.
or just crazy people. And so it makes so much sense to me. And I think that game is just incredible. I love it too.
Did you finish it? I'm just curious if you,
not yet. I probably got like a, I don't know. I don't know how much longer. I'm just a little bit into Act 3, but...
Yeah, Act 3 is a lot shorter than Act 2.
And I'm very strong now. Like, I spent so much time in Act 2.
Totally. That, like, that's exactly what happened to me. By the time I got to the end, I was... Yeah, like I was saying, I would just walk into camps and be like, hey, come out here! And then just murder everyone.
Like, I unlocked all the legend armors already. Like, you know, it's very much like...
It's endgame. It's endgame time. I still think the villain was kind of... Like, he was cool and all, but, like, they definitely... I never got the sense that they tried to make the villains very interesting. Like, they definitely are like, oh, it's an evil invading army. That's all you need to know. And it's like, well, it'd be kind of interesting to explore, like, their perspective a little bit. And that was the one area where it felt like they kind of half-assed it a bit.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean...
I just think it would have been cool. Like, I find complex villains to be much more interesting than just like, hey, I'm here to kick ass because we're better than you.
Yeah, I agree. I think complex villains are more interesting. I also don't think necessarily that the Mongols were complex, right? Like, yeah, I think that maybe that's a bit more... I think maybe it makes a bit of sense for what it is, right? Like, I don't know. I don't dislike the Khan, right? Like, I think he...
Yeah. No, I agree. He was okay. It would just be... I wanted more of him, I guess.
Yeah, I like the Straw Hat guy. I'm so glad he's dead, though.
Yeah, he was a fucking asshole.
He's such an ass. Like, I like that he was so hateable. Whenever I really hate somebody, I'm like, oh, that's a good job, right? Like, you really pulled my strings with that guy, right? Like, you twisted me up, but that's a good job.
Yeah, and the whole story with, like, the archer. That's very interesting. Yeah, it's a cool game, man. I mean, I'm really glad you're enjoying it. I really enjoyed it as well. I definitely am looking forward to, when I do eventually get a PS5, maybe even doing a new game plus or something, that could be really fun.
Great, great game.
Yeah, right. For sure.
Great game. I love it. It's spent the most, like, it's what I've played the most on my PS5, if that is any indication.
Which is so funnier.
Yeah, it is. I've got the new games, too, and this is the game I play the most. What else did I play this week? So I was telling you about GTA Online, the RP stuff last week.
Yep.
So, funny thing is, after messing with that, I decided I was going to play the GTA 5 campaign because I never really did. Yeah. Like, it's one of those.
I've started it many times.
Yeah. But those games you just jump into and play around with and never really get through it. I don't know how far along I am. I know the campaign is mega long.
Yeah. It's so long that it's like, I think I put in like 10, 15 hours of just campaign. I felt like I made very little progress. And again, that's not a bad thing, but it was definitely like, oh boy.
I am constantly surprised. Like, how many set pieces they can get into these campaigns, you know, like, compared to the old GTAs and, you know, I don't know, I don't even know what the last one I beat was, like, Vice City, you know, like, I actually played through the whole campaign. There's just so much stuff, like, so many times when you're just, like, doing crazy-ass shit with, like, submarines and tanks and helicopters and forklifts, and it's just, like... Man, there is, like, everything.
It's way out there.
Yeah, it's wild, man. It's kind of great. I kind of really enjoying it.
No, totally. It's great. I think GTA now also gets, people are kind of turning on GTA in a way that's sort of funny, as if it were ever trying to be high art. They're like, satire is very nihilistic. It's like, yeah. I mean, yeah. It's very much like what it is, and it's fine, and it's very comfortable being what it is. It's the same people are like, South Park doesn't offer any solutions. They just make fun of everyone. It's like, yeah, so that's their whole thing. They're not trying to be constructive. It's okay to just be mean and make fun of shit.
Yeah, and I feel like people forget that things are fake. Like, not real. Like, fiction is fiction, you know? Yeah. I feel like this comes up a lot, you know? It's funny, like, this is unrelated and probably far more hard to defend, but there's this discourse around this anime that's out right now. And it's because it has very questionable content, right? Like, and I will agree with that, right? It's basically a character. It's, so do you know what an isekai is in an anime?
No.
It's if, so sekai means like world, right? Isekai means like another world, right? And so in an isekai, basically it means you die and you wake up in a different world, like a fantasy world.
Okay.
Or usually it's fantasy setting, right? Where you go and you're like powerful and the coolest guy in the fantasy world.
A power fantasy, if you will.
Yeah, a power fantasy, if you will. So there's this one now that is on, and it actually was like a really popular comic back in the day and a light novel. But the crux of it is the main character in the previous world is kind of like a gross, shut-in, like, weeboo-like guy, right? Like, like one of the initial scenes is him, like, masturbating to anime, right? Like, he's gross. And so he dies, and when he's born into the new world, he's born as a baby, right?
Okay.
And lives his life as a baby. But he's like a baby with adult memories. And so he's always like staring at boobs and like he's a weird baby, right? So, of course, what happens is when he becomes a young teenager or even a preteen, there are, I don't want to call them like sexual interactions, but there is a lot of like pervy interactions with people that are his age or a little older than him, right? Like young teenagers, right? And whatever, that's questionable. But the discourse I see online all the time, and I think like GTA and stuff, is people are like, well, think about what's going to happen to her when she becomes an adult, right? Or like, like, how's this going to affect the rest of her life, right? And I'm just like, what the fuck are you talking about? It's gonna, she's gonna be exactly how she's written to be. You know what I mean? Like just like GTA. Like, none of this is real. It's all fiction. It can be problematic, but there's no like real world consequences. That's what fiction is all about. You know?
I mean, the old age old argument that's not unique to games is like, well, it could have a negative impact on someone's perception of the world or whatever. It's like, yeah, sure. I suppose that's true. Like, maybe. But what? So? Like, that's always been the case. And what? But yeah, certainly you don't have to worry about how someone's emotions are impacted if they're not a real person.
You know, I think it just, people don't read enough books.
Yeah.
Because, like, as someone who read, like, books since I was able to read, like, since I was, you know, I don't know, 7 or 8 years old, like, I would always, like, find novels and try to read them. Even if they were too old for me, I would just try.
Yeah.
And read fantasy books growing up.
Same.
And, like, fucked up shit's happening in books all the time. Every book. Old books, new books, you know, like.
Have you ever read the fucking Bible?
Yeah.
Fucking dark.
Every book, like, their dark stories have existed since the beginning of time, and they will until the end of time.
Yeah.
And trying to, like, build out these kind of characters and build out these, like, justifications or, like, these de-justifications for these things is, it's a fool's errand, man. Like, it really is. And it's sad, I think, that we see people doing this. It kind of ties into one of our news stories, but...
But it's also like, yeah, the part I don't understand is just like, there's a lot of art out there that makes me uncomfortable and I do not want to engage with, so I don't.
Yeah.
Like, that's the part don't understand is like, if something makes you uncomfortable, it doesn't matter. Like, for any reason, you don't need to justify why something makes you uncomfortable to anyone, ever. You're just like, no, I don't want to watch that shit. I don't like it. Totally fair. That's fine. And having discussions around it, like, yeah, great. I don't understand why people choose to engage with art that they don't like. It's very odd to me.
It's super... people just are really seek out misery, right? You know
what I mean? Like, that's kind of what it feels like. It's like there's stuff that I don't want to watch, so I don't watch it. And that's it.
Yeah.
And there are so many... I give it very little thought.
Yeah. All right. Well, before we get too far down this road, there's one more game I want to talk about.
Yeah, please.
This game... is a real piece of shit game. Okay?
We don't talk enough about shitty games on the show, you know? I was thinking about that.
We really don't. So I was looking at Steam Early Access, right? Like, I like to check the list for, like, weird stuff that's, like, Early Access or just released. And one of the games up high on Early Access was this game called League of Maidens. All right? Have you seen this before?
No.
It's a real... Yeah. It's
not a great name.
No, I saw a YouTube video that included it in like upcoming RPG games for 2021, and it looked okay. It was it's a really horny like third person game with like female superheroes, right? And I was like, oh, you know, whatever. Like the person on the YouTube video was like, oh, it's a pretty good game. I figured it'd be like action combat, like you know, for like a Bayonetta kind of thing or whatever I thought it was. I don't know, but so I installed it and. It's the worst fucking piece of shit I've ever played. Like, it is...
What's wrong with it?
So, for one, it's super horny. That part is fine, but, you know, you can make, like, the fucking gigantic super jiggle boobs and the super jiggle butt and, you know, the fighting in lingerie. I'm sure there's nude patches of some sort if you look.
Yeah, no doubt.
I did not spend much time looking. I was honestly so turned off by this game, and... Not because of horny shit. I love horny shit. You know,
sure. That's always funny though when it's like, Jesus, this is the opposite of making me horny because it's so stupid and bad. You know.
Well, and I think that's that was like the biggest like the mental issue with this game is like it for all the horny shit, the game itself wasn't that horny, right?
Yeah.
Like the actual like gameplay wasn't like the story wasn't that horny, and it wasn't that fun, but it had just like. Like loads and loads of like just dumb dialogue and like this tutorial mission that took me an hour. I didn't even finish it. I was still in the prologue, but I spent well over an hour and a half playing it. And like, so you're doing these tutorial missions, you're running around this gigantic base and it's like, all right, we'll teach you combat. And they talk at you for a long time and you go to this like combat thing and you press F or whatever to interact and it just auto fights. And you're like, what the fuck is it? Like, why is it auto fighting? It does it for 60 seconds. It's like, it has a countdown. It's like 60 seconds. You're like, why is it a whole minute of this? Right. And they're like, now we're going to teach you defense. And you got to go to a different vendor, which is like on the other side of the thing. He's like, I'm going to teach you defense. And you go, okay, and you go to it, and you hit F, and it's like auto fights. 60 seconds, same exact animation. It's just the same thing happening for 60 more seconds. And it's like, now you know defense. None of the stuff. The game like, doesn't the game doesn't auto fight. Like, when you play the actual game,
well, yeah,
you
know,
you're swinging your sword and fighting. So I'm like, what is this even for? Like, what does this mean? It means nothing. Then you go to the – and it's like, oh, I learned to shoot. Go to the shooting range. You go to the shooting range, and they're like, all right, rookie, like – we're going to do a shooting exercise. You got to hit the targets 25 times. And if you miss three times or whatever, like you're out of here, you suck. Right. And so you do this thing and it drops a target and you hit it and it drops another and you hit it. It's impossible to fail. It takes minutes. Like it takes so long. Cause it's like target, hit it. Next target, hit it, right?
God.
It takes so long. It's impossible to fail. I did it like 85 times and it was like, is this going to get hard or should I just stop shooting and fail myself, right? Like,
cause, just so I don't have to keep playing.
Because I'm done with this. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm like upset. And it finally fails. But all this tutorial, like an hour or whatever of tutorial, and it goes into this first mission and I'm like, how do you play this fucking game? Right? Like, I don't know how to do anything. I was running out of health. How do you heal? Can you heal? Do I need to go to a healing booth? I don't know. It's like, oh, and equip better items. Where the fuck is my inventory? Like, where, you know, I have no...
How do I get items?
I have no idea. It taught me how to put on cosmetics. It taught me how to, you know, like, but where are my fucking items? Like, it's dumb because this game is such a nothing game that I'm even talking about it, but it made me so mad. To play it.
Well, it's interesting playing a bad game, right? Because we don't do that by design because, you know, we don't have to. So we'd rarely do it. But it is funny how when you do, you're like, oh my God, I forgot that, like, there's a lot of shitty games that are just completely incompetent. You know?
Yeah.
It's very odd when you experience it.
I don't, like, you know, like, horny fun or good, right? You can be two of them, but you can't be all three, right? Like, and this thing wasn't even two. It was just horny. It wasn't good. It wasn't fun.
Yeah.
And it just took itself, it thought it was a real game. And it's like, well, then you can't be this bad. If you're a real game, you can't be so bad.
You gotta be one or the other.
Yeah, like you're not allowed to be.
Yeah, either lean into how shitty you are and kind of embrace it or actually be good.
Yeah, stop making me listen to all this story and all this dialogue. Like, you'll be out in the world, like, fighting stuff, and it'll be like, oh, you got a phone call, and all of a sudden your character can only slow walk, and you have to listen to the whole phone call. So it's like a minute and a half of just, like, walk
inane slow. Bullshit, yeah.
Yeah, and you're just like, what? Who is doing, like, did a child make this game?
Probably.
I don't know. It drove me crazy. Don't play League of Legends. You'll see the big boobs. You'll want to download it. It's not fun. Like, it's what's really sad is big boobs should be fun.
Yeah, you know? at the very least.
Yeah. You see some big old boobies. You see a nice big butt. And you're like, this should be some like an hour of good times, right? Maybe I'll uninstall it right after, but at least we'll have some fun and some laughs. And it immediately just drains all of your laughs.
And then as soon as you're done, you're like, God damn it, I'm angry now.
It's a disgrace to big boobies.
It sounds like you played this game longer than you played Dishonored 2.
Maybe, but that's because I felt trapped. You know, like I was just waiting for... It's funny because I played it all this time, like being like, eventually I'll get out into the world. I'll be able to like do the thing and all of this will be a bad memory and I can like roll some new character. I can play the game. And the first mission I played, I was like, oh, this is fucking bullshit. Like, I was just so mad. I spent all that time before trying to get to this point because there was no payoff. It was so bad, and it made me so angry, you know? Yeah.
When you're angry after playing a game, that's not a good sign.
Yeah, like, I wanted to leave a Steam review. I've never left a Steam review. And I was like, I should leave a fucking Steam review for this game. But I didn't because I'm embarrassed because it's a fucking horny game.
Yeah, so you talk about it on your podcast instead.
Yeah, so I talk. I don't care if people know I played the game. I guess it's more like I don't want people to go to this game and see my name on on the game page. I don't. If people hear me like justify it in spoken word,
yeah,
I think that's fine.
Like, yeah, you can have a conversation about it versus like, oh, looks like this guy really liked this game. Like, then you got to read the fucking thing.
It's a negative I don't review. Think I do. Okay, it's like okay, browsing the adult section, fucking weirdo. Yeah. All right, let's take a real quick break, and then we'll have a fast jump into some stories. We're almost out of time, but we'll get some in there.
Sounds.
Leo, did you have a good break? Did you play some League of Legends during the break?
I installed it. I made a custom character. Is that something you can do? I assume it is.
Yeah,
I assume that's most of it. I played it, and it was great. It's the best game I've ever played by significant margin. Sorry, God. Dishonored. Sorry, Ghost of Tsushima.
So much. It makes me so mad. I cannot believe how mad that game makes me. All right, let's jump into some stories real fast. I don't even know why I took a break. We're already an hour into the show.
It happens.
So there's one thing I want to talk about real quick before we get into, I think, the story we'll probably end up talking about for the rest of the show.
Sure.
Have you watched Code Miko? I saw a story on Kotaku about Code Miko, and I wanted to bring it up because...
Yeah, no, I saw that story, but I have not watched that. I didn't even really read the story, so I'd love to hear your thoughts.
I'm a Code Miko stan now. Nice. Right? So I've seen her floating around. Like, if for anyone who doesn't know, Code Miko is like a kind of like a VTuber, but a little more connected to her like real persona. You know, like she does have like a digital avatar. It exists in a 3D world that she streams from. It's usually chatting streams. But she refers to her real life self as the technician.
Whoa.
And so sometimes they have like technician streams, right? Like there's a stream last week where technician cosplayed as Miko, you know? So she doesn't like hide who she is in real life.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, I'm only a virtual avatar. Like VTubers you don't know who they are. You know, like it's a secret. Where she is very much kind of embraces like, oh, this is just like a fun thing. And she did a stream like... She had a stream on Friday. I was watching while I was working, and she was like showing like how she does all of her rigging and like makes it work.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
Like, you know, and I was like, this is fucking so interesting. Like, this is incredible, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm a Code Miko fan. I think she's so great. Like, she's super funny. I think it kind of reminds me of like, love him or hate him, like what Dr. Disrespect did for streaming, you know, and like inventing this character and doing these kind of character streams and kind of building an audience around that character. You know, I feel like Miko's kind of next level that shit, you know, where
yeah, it's like this sort of whole, the inevitable evolution.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, it's a little horny, but it's like funny, it's kind of dark, and she kind of embraces all this. I think what's empowering about it is being this avatar, like she really can like interact with this like shitty like Twitch like yeah. like back and forth, and kind of have a rapport around it, right? If it was just herself, I don't think she'd be comfortable, you know, saying the things she says. But being this avatar, it's like, you know, like fuck you pussies or whatever. You know what I mean? Like she can kind of go off, and I think that's really funny and fun.
That's interesting. Yeah, it sounds it certainly sounds like it could be very engaging. Does she play games at all, or is it mostly just her talking?
It's mostly her interviewing people.
Oh wow,
which that's is really cool. Interesting. Yeah, like mostly streamers or like gaming sphere people. Like, but she like interviewed T-Pain last week because he streams, I believe now.
Yeah, I think so.
Kind of a lot of big streamers have been on her show. And that it's just, they're really funny interviews because they're very, like, surreal, right? Like, yeah, it's definitely, yeah. Because, you know, she'll change her avatar clothes, right? Like, and be, like, a weird person or big head mode herself in the middle of an interview. And, you know, like, and have, like, you know, like, a gimp running around behind her. So, you know, like, she can do anything. So, it's like.
Yeah, sort of like we were talking about, I think it was last week, with VR chat and how that does sort of add a. Just a level of insanity that if it's curated by someone who's really smart, because in VR chat, it's not really curated in the same way, I could definitely see how that would be at a level of surrealness and sort of engagement for sure.
Yeah, it's all to me, it has this like this kind of Eric Andre vibe that's a little more genuine and a little more technical, you know? Like,
yeah, totally.
I think Eric Andre is just like too surreal in some ways, right? Yeah. Like it goes a little too far. Eric Andre's stuff never has resolution, right? You're never like, oh, that's the end of the interview. Where this stuff is like, it's because it's technical. It's just crazy. It's just out there. And I think it's so good. Like, I would suggest.
Cool. I'll check it out this week. That sounds, it certainly sounds like it's worth checking out at the very least, even if it's not your thing. It sounds like like you were saying, like a cool sort of evolution and maybe a glimpse into what the future might look like.
Yeah, and I think she's so talented. Like, I think she's such a great person. It's all based on personality, and she just seems to be, like, such a great personality for it.
Yeah.
I don't watch any Just Chatting streams. Like, it's never been what I was into. And I ended up catching a couple of her YouTubes where she interviewed other people I've watched, you know, and, like, oh, like, how's, like I like those, you know, Dunky. Have you watched Dunky videos?
No.
Oh, Dunky's like they're like joke videos, right? Like he always makes dumb videos about Knack 2 and shit.
sounds familiar. I'm sure I've seen it or you know heard his voice, but yeah.
And so she did an interview with Dunky, which I thought was funny. And then from there, I was like, oh, what else did she do? And then he was like, oh, T-Pain, oh, this person. And
oh, look,
and
she played like, League of Maidens.
Oh, did she?
I don't know. Probably.
That shit would be actually that would be hilarious. But yeah, I am give my 2 cents. Watch Code Miko.
Yeah, that's cool for sure. I'll check her out this week. That sounds like an interesting thing to have on in the background. Thank you for the suggestion, because I probably never would have even known to look. You know, I still just watch speed runs.
She's great, and when she does her that reading video is so interesting.
Yeah, like, that does
how she does that stuff. Yeah,
peeks behind the curtain. It's always interesting.
Always so fun. So the one thing I think this is really the major news of the week, unless you're a Hogwarts Legacy fan,
yeah, that had some news. Let's stay away from that one.
But the other news of the week was, so it looks like we're really going to get a Switch Pro this year.
Yeah, it does.
4K visuals.
Yeah, so let me stop you right there.
4K visuals.
I really am annoyed with
how... OLED?
I mean, the OLED, that's kind of neat, I guess. The 4K thing is so annoying because it's like... It was like how it seems like they just dropped these numbers now, right? You remember Sony did this too. They're like, the PS5 is going to be 8. It supports 8K. It's like, no, it doesn't.
It does. You don't have one. You wouldn't know.
Oh, okay. No, but you know what I mean? Like, it's just bullshit. And like the idea that the Switch is going to run in native 4K is just profoundly untrue. Like, there's literally no way it could do that. And it's just annoying.
I'm going to tell you a secret. Everyone that owns a PS5 knows that it could do 16K. It's something they tell us not to tell people.
Do you have to overclock it?
Yeah, they tell us not to tell people about it, though. It's kind of like an inside thing.
Now they're going to take yours away.
Let's see them try. All right.
cold, dead hands.
I agree. I mean, I assume it's going to use some kind of DLSS, right?
Sure.
To, like,
yeah. It'll upscale something or whatever, but it's not going to be running. Like, it's not.
You're not gonna get
Breath of the Wild at 4K. Like, yeah. It's not gonna happen.
It's going to look like shit.
The idea of a slightly more powerful Switch is cool, but again, it opens up that same thing, which I still think this last generation was kind of ugly for this, like the PS4 Pro, and when you buy a game, you don't know how it's going to run, and like it does open up that can of worms, although I will admit Nintendo has a lot more familiarity with this process than most people with, you know, the way they generationify their handhelds. So this isn't new, but I don't know.
Yeah, it seems pretty lame to me. I'll be honest with you. Someone that owns a lot of Switches and is eager to buy more Switches because...
we're definitely the target demographic for sure.
Yeah, because I don't know why I just keep buying the Switch. Yeah. This looks pretty lame. It just doesn't like... I mean, the screen seems fine. I don't really care that much about having a nicer OLED that's the same resolution and the same output. You know, like, I just don't... I don't know. Like, is that supposed to get me excited? It's still not going to be great. It's still going to be 720, so who fucking cares?
Yeah, I mean, I think the only exciting part is the dock, right? Because that's where they're actually going to use a new chip.
Yeah.
And I will say the battery life on the Switch is absolute trash. And I don't really care because the only time I use it portably is like when I go on a trip. So it's not a huge problem. But I will say that improved battery life, I'm sure, would be very welcome to many people.
I bet it'll still be trash.
Yeah, you're probably right. And also the Wi-Fi chip that they use in there is
trash.
Fucking terrible.
I bet it'll still be trash. Like, well, that's what I mean. They're not going to change the things that matter. Like, they're not going to change the things that you would really care. Like, if
it's not like anyone bought a Switch and was like, God damn it, I wish this was an OLED screen. Then this would really fucking be great.
Yeah, if they could put a good battery in it, spend $20 and put 256 gigs of storage in it.
Yeah.
You know, like, if they could do any of these things that would not cost them very much money to make the Switch better, I would be a lot more excited. But I promise they won't. You know, like it's going to be... It's still going to have broken-ass Joy-Cons.
Yeah.
Like, the battery might be a little bit bigger. Or it'll be the same battery with, like, oh, but the display is optimized, right?
Yeah, CPU is a little faster, and therefore it uses less battery. Yeah, probably.
It's underclocked, so it's fine, you know?
Yeah.
It just seems so lame.
I mean, I guess it's that same thing of, like, I think the way... Usually the way they market these is it's not really designed to be a replacement, right? It's just designed to sell more to, like, new people. Because I agree, like, I'm an idiot, so I'll probably get one just because I don't know what the hell's wrong with me. But certainly if you were on the fence about buying a Switch, this would be the time. But then again, are there anyone who's on the fence and is, like, waiting for this?
Everyone's already got one. They sold more Switches than there are human beings. So
yeah, 7 billion Switches. And also, yeah, the 4K thing, which again, I believe is just posturing and bullshit. Who's that for? Like, no one's gonna be like, fuck yeah, I can finally, like, now it's a real gaming console. Like, can compete, you know? Like, that's never been their strength. To be fair, though, we don't know any of the messaging. Like, this is all, there's been no marketing. Nintendo hasn't officially announced it. So who knows? Like, A, we don't actually know what it's gonna look like yet. And B, it'll be curious to see how they market it. But... yeah, on paper, it's certainly not revolutionary.
No, and maybe they didn't intend it to be. I mean, maybe this will just be the Switch they sell from now on. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like...
Yeah, like they did with the 3DS or the...
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, this is the Pro. It's like, no, this is just the Switch. These screens are cheaper now, and the new SoC is cheaper now, and so this is just the one. Buying the old one was more expensive than putting newer stuff in it. You know what I mean? Like, at some point, so... You know, who knows? Who knows what they're going to say? But, it's not exciting. Like, if their goal is to get people pumped up, then I think they failed there.
Well, and also they haven't officially announced it yet, so
keep that in mind. Well, they failed, okay?
They failed to impress me, and they're like, well, we haven't even talked about it yet. It's like, too late. That ship has sailed, Nintendo. You
already fucked it up, Nintendo. Miyamoto, I don't know. Whatever, Miyamoto. That's what I gotta say. Whatever.
Whatever.
You know, the one thing I did learn before we get out of here about the Switch?
What's that?
That you can emulate the controller with a Samsung phone.
What?
Yeah. You can pair your Samsung phone with using an app to the Switch and use it as a Pro controller.
Holy shit.
And by doing that, you can load Amiibos.
Whoa.
That's crazy. Any Amiibos.
That's amazing.
All the Amiibos.
That's fucking cool. No, I had no idea. I love that kind of stuff. We'll have to talk a little more about this after.
My girlfriend bought a bunch of these little Amiibo NFC chips, yeah. You know, on eBay. You can buy them for a few bucks each, and you get a ton of them. And I was like, I wonder if I could make those, right? Because she got some in, and I was like, I wonder if I could make those. So, you know, I'm Redditing around to be like, how do you make these NFC chips? And you can make them. Like, that part's not that hard. If you have a phone, most Android phones can write NFC. iPhones cannot, but I think there is a workaround. But that's cool. in one of the posts, it said, well, do you have a Samsung phone? Because if you have a Samsung phone, you don't even need to write it. I'm like, oh, that's weird. So yeah. I guess Samsung phones specifically, and some other phones, I'm sure, but Samsungs as a rule, you have a special, like a Bluetooth profile that lets them act as like a keyboard on a PC or whatever. Like you can, you know, because they, which is weird. I just got a Samsung phone. You know, they have all this like PC Connect stuff, you know, and because of that, their Bluetooth profile is different. It's like a HID Bluetooth or something. And that's the same thing that controllers use in like game consoles, right? And so that lets you spoof a Joy-Con or a Pro Controller with your phone. And that's how you load the Amiibos.
That's so cool. I'm definitely going to check that out.
It's fucking neato, right?
Yeah, I love that kind of shit. It's a classic example of like, I did it. I spent an hour setting it up and now I can do it and I'll never do it again, but I did it.
I'm sure I'll have to do it plenty of times. My girlfriend wants all the wild animals for Animal Crossing, so
yeah,
it's plus the Hello Kitty ones are coming soon, and that's, you know, it's a whole nother thing.
I gotta hop back in Animal Crossing now that there's all that Mario stuff. It's always fun like to check in, see what's new, although it'll probably be depressing
now that you can spoof Amiibos. You can get any villagers you want.
Yeah, finally
your dreams have come true. Anything else you want to talk about before we get out of here, Leo?
No, I think we covered everything, but as always, thanks for sticking with us as we bounce around all kinds of different topics, and yeah, hope you enjoyed. Yeah, we got wild this time. Hope you enjoyed hanging out.
Yeah, we got wild this time. Very horny show today, too, which I like.
Well, that was so. All you, but you're right.
All me. You were here. You participated.
Whether you like it or not.
Whether you liked it or not, you went on this horny ride with me, and that's on you, right? You could have left it any time.
I'm just like, said, oh, wow, fuck this.
You could have said you were uncomfortable.
Bro, I'm not talking about League of Maidens anymore.
Yeah. You could have said, hey, bro, I'm uncomfortable. And I would have said, like, okay, I'm sorry. I went too far. But you didn't. You didn't. Okay?
It's a tacit endorsement is what that is.
It is. It's a tacit endorsement. I don't know what that means, but I'm sure that that's what just happened. Techyeah Podcast on Twitter, on Facebook. TechyeahPodcast@gmail.com. Are you horny? We're horny. Say hi. You know? That's what I
was. Okay, you're making me uncomfortable now.
All right, I'll stop because it's the end of the show. Thank you guys for listening so much. We love you. Go and play some games.